This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Ryan Silvey, state senator from Clay County on the Missouri side.
We're glad you're here. Let's get started.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. And welcome to the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. I'm Brian Ellison. It is good to have Senator Ryan Silvey with us from the Northland. Also joining us in the studio today are Matt Staub. He is runs a digital marketing agency and has a robust social media presence as well. Matt, it's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And also from KCUR, my colleague Ellie Moxley. Welcome, Ellie.
Good to be here, Brian.
First, I want to go around the table and see what's on the mind of the rest of the folks here. Matt Staub, what are you thinking about for Ryan Silvey today?
I live downtown. I can see your district out my window. I live in the River Market right on the river. And it seems so often when we're working on city issues, I'm pretty active with the city, that the only time we mention Jeff City in the state legislature is because of its impediment to our progress as a city. And we so often become the people that have to deal with the consequences of certain budgetary decisions that are made by largely rural interests. And so I'm wondering, how can we make, like other states have, the state legislature more of a partner in building cities, which are obviously the vast majority of the economic production of our state?
From a political standpoint, the cities, both Kansas City and St. Louis, have traditionally in the last decade or so lost quite a bit of influence simply by the members that are being elected from there. There aren't a lot of Republicans elected in Kansas City or St. Louis. There's only a handful of us. But Republicans have dominated the rest of the state, and we have two-thirds of the legislature. So when the people that are most inclined to speak up for your interests are in the minority, they don't get as much attention. Again, since a lot of things in the legislature don't break on party platform partisanship, having a region stand together is very helpful. Most of the issues that we deal with do end up breaking urban versus rural, or east versus west, or suburban versus everybody.
Right.
You know, so it really helps when you can have a regional coalition across party lines.
I want to ask another question about sort of the mood in Jefferson City. We were talking earlier about ethics reform. You mentioned that there's a new House Speaker, there's a new Senate President pro tem. The stage seems to be set for a new day, a morning in Jefferson City. Does it feel that way? You're a month into the session. What's happening there? How does it feel?
The president pro tem of the Senate, for one, has empowered the chairman more than any president pro tem I've ever seen, because when a bill gets filed, it then has to be referred to a committee by the president pro tem. And in the Senate, it has to go in order. If there's 300 bills filed, he can't pick and choose and cherry pick where they go. So typically what pro tems in the past have done is used that as a way to slow everything down, because if I only refer 10 bills, they're going to be the first 10 bills and everything else just has to wait until the next time I refer bills. This president pro tem has cleared everything out. I mean, I filed a bill on Wednesday and it was referred Thursday, and that's unprecedented. So every chairman now is sitting on a stack of bills to decide which ones rise to the level of even getting a hearing this year.
Well, I was going to say, it sounded to me when you were explaining it the first time, it kind of sounded like delegating. Like, you know, you're the committee chair. You're the one that probably knows the most about, say, commerce or the budget or whatever. And, you know, you're the one that's making the decision as to which of the bills that have been filed are the most important for your committee to hear.
Personally, I think it's great. It's not normal. I mean, I knew anyone who's been chairman for a while is not used to just having everything dumped on their plate and then you making all of the decisions. The decisions have a lot of times been top-down driven. So I think it's great. But it does add new challenges, because in the past, you look at the calendar, you may only have 5 bills in your committee. So with 25 bills, like, I physically know I don't have enough time to hear all of them. So I'm making decisions now that previous chairmen haven't had to make.
Matt Staub.
So I guess transportation is another big one. I feel like Missouri was famous for having the cheapest gas and cigarettes, and that was our claim to fame. And as long as you were smoking them, if you had them, you ignored the bridges that were falling over. So you know, will there be the courage for us to address the revenue side of things? I was reading a Marshall Griffin article yesterday about a proposal to raise the gas tax to potentially address our transportation shortfalls, which are significant. What are we going to do about that?
first of all, we've put two tax increases on the ballot in the last 4 or 5 years, and both of them have been rejected by the voters. So what I've started thinking about is, you know, we always say, okay, well, here's all the money that we spend, and here's the revenue that we have. What nobody ever really seems to do is go back in and say, well, what are we spending it on? You know, I mean, and not just from a programmatic standpoint, what are we spending it on? But it really crystallized for me this summer. I went with MoDOT on a tour of the Broadway Bridge, you know, the structural integrity tour. So I'm hanging in a bucket up under the bridge looking at this thing.
That sounds like the worst part of being a state senator to me, but go on.
Sounds awesome.
I thought it was cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I thought it was cool. But what struck me the most was, okay, so everybody knows that the Broadway Bridge is going to need some sort of repair and because these things have life cycles. So I'm talking to them about... We keep falling back to when we don't have enough revenue, the Highway Commission falls back to what's called the primary road system. There's the primary road system and the supplementary road system. The Broadway Bridge is not a primary bridge in the state of Missouri. And that blew my mind.
Nope, that's true. I did a big story on bridges. They didn't let me up into the bucket, though. I'm a little disappointed. They told me they didn't let, you know, the rest of us do that. But apparently, if I, you know, run for office, maybe one day I can get in the bucket truck.
And there you go.
Is that because it's not an interstate or because it's not enough traffic? It's only two lanes?
It's because there's basically other routes.
Each way. Well, it's because of the way our system has been built. And so it prompted me to go dig into it. So then I asked for a map of, oh, I want to see every road that's under state maintenance. And it blew my mind. It was like a spider web mess. I actually posted it on my Facebook page, I think. I've probably tweeted it out as well. But if you gave somebody a blank sheet of the state of Missouri and said, draw me a state-level road system, nobody would come up with what we have as our state road system. So then I started looking at, okay, well, what if we pared that back? What if we had a more arterial system? Because we have 33,000 miles under state maintenance.
Wow.
Comparable states in population and size have between 12 and 16,000 miles. So we're taking care of way more than we ever should have been taken care of. And so I started looking at the history of how did we get here in the 50s and 60s. We took on more roads from the counties. And so all these roads are state roads. It should not be state roads, in my opinion, which harms the cities and the areas of growth because we're spending money putting oil rock on roads that have less than 400 cars a day instead of amassing money to build projects for bridges like the Broadway Bridge. So we're working on a plan to kind of pare that down and figure out a way. Obviously, there's been a lot because I was in the Star about this and then people freaked out because they're like, oh, you're just going to give all the roads back to the counties and they don't have the money to pay for it. Not at all what we're talking about. We would have to come up with a way to help the counties shoulder the burden of those roads. But the concept of what we're paying for is ridiculous. And we never look at that side of the balance sheet. We always look at the revenue side and say we need more revenue. We never look at the maintenance side. I mean, if you had an arterial system and we had several different – we had MoDOT give us several different ideas for what that would look like. The most arterial system, so the least little spiderwebby roads, would save us like $380 million a year in maintenance. You know, and we were talking about, you know, how are we going to come up with $40 million? Well, here's a plan that would save $380 million, you know, and make it, you know, arterial roads. So I that's not an easy conversation to have. Of course, it goes back
especially
to our very first
suburban,
conversation.
Especially from a suburban legislator.
Exactly. It goes back to our very first conversation of urban versus rural and all of this. And I'm getting a tremendous amount of pushback from my rural colleagues because it means that their roads will no longer be taken care of by the state. But at some point, we have to have a conversation. And it's hopefully going to be a multi-year conversation on what is the appropriate role of the state in roads.
Matt, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's fun.
And also my good friend and colleague, Ellie Moxley, a general assignment reporter here at KCUR 89.3. Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you.
And finally, Ryan, nothing helps us get to know our guests better than getting inside their head and hearing the music that plays there. You get to choose the closing song of this podcast.
Let's do Rain or Me by Who from Quadrophenia.
Rain or Me by
The Who.
The Who.
Off the Quadrophenia album.
Wow. Thank you so much for being here, Ryan.
All right. Thank you.
That's Senator Ryan Silvey, who's a Republican from Kansas City's Northland. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp and Brian Ellison. We'll see you next time.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find the full episode by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.